Okay. Talking this morning with George Conrad. Once more, just to get started here, you were born when?
1922.
And in Russia?
In Russia, yeah.
Okay. And you, quickly again, you came in to Canada?
In 26 to Port Rouyn first, and then 28 moved to Peel Island, and then 37 we moved to the mainland.
Into Livingston area here. What did you do on Peel Island? Farm?
Farmed, yeah.
So you basically grew up on Peel Island?
Yes, I had my schooling there.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Now, at present, you are farming here still?
Yes.
How large an acreage do you have?
200 acres.
What do you have on there, basically?
Just grain, corn, soybeans, and wheat.
Okay. And that's all you do, basically, farming?
Yeah.
In terms of earning a living?
Yeah.
Then also, I'm curious, you're members of which church?
The United Mennonite Church.
Okay. And you have been all along, I would assume.
Yes.
Okay. Let's zero in on our area of interest here this morning, and look at or ask when you first found out about the Mexican Mennonites. What was your first contact? When did that happen?
You mean the formal work with the group now, or
no? Let's say when you first heard about them.
Our first contact was when we had workers, farm workers.
When would that have been?
Oh, that's probably 7 or 8 years ago.
So 1970? Approximately?
Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Is that when you first heard that there were people coming in from Mexico?
No, we've heard about that before. But 1 year we were short of help and we had some help.
Okay.
But that's the first contact that we ever had with people from Mexico.
You knew there were Mennonites out there, though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess we've known that for a long time, but never really had any personal contact with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they were helping on the grain farm?
No, at that time we had different farming. We had a lot of canning crops. We had tomatoes, cucumbers, which we have gone out of since the boys didn't want to farm, so we just farmed what we can handle.
Yeah, the grain farm.
Yeah.
And so you used them as farm labor then for picking?
Yeah, we had them for picking cucumbers, mainly. That was, I guess we didn't even have tomatoes then anymore. We just had some, a couple of summers we had some.
Just a couple of summers?
Yeah, just a couple of summers.
And then how long ago did you go into only grain?
Probably about the last 6 or 7 years.
Okay, all right. So then something like 3 years that you had employees. Okay. Now, what, other than having worked for you, how else have you been involved with the Mexican Mennonite?
Well, not really anything else except when we started getting involved in the church here.
The MMC church?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
That was in 74.
Okay. And how did that happen?
Well, that was a peculiar thing. I felt that was the leading of God. I'd had a choir in our church for about 28 years, and I thought it was time some young fellow got in there and took over. You know, so I resigned a year ahead, and we carried it through. And that was in April when we resigned the choir finally.
Of what year again?
Of 74.
74, okay.
And in June, I got a telephone call from a certain Gordon Brown, whom I had never met, never seen. I had heard of him. He was in the church there. Mm-hmm. And he said, I hear you're out of a job. I said, what are you talking about? You know, I thought it was kind of a funny question to ask for a man that I'd never seen before. But after I knew him, well, then that was Gordon Brown.
That's right.
And he said, well, we're looking for somebody to take over the choir in the church. And I said, you'll have to let me think about that at first, and then I'd like to talk to you first, see what you want. I had been in the church there when they had the opening.
Dedication?
The dedication. Mm-hmm. And So I, but Gordon wasn't there then.
Still Jake Heppner?
Yeah, I think so. So anyway, we got together, and that's how it happened. And I thought it was very significant that, you know, that we terminated, and a few months later, this thing opened up, and it's just been a very good experience.
Now, what's the arrangement now? Do you go to that church pretty much all the time? Or?
Well, we started off by, I told them we don't want to break our ties with our church at home. So I said we'll come for choir practice. Basically, they wanted, you know, somebody to come in and see whether we could do something about getting a choir going. And I guess I was kind of naive at the beginning when I said, well, I'll come to choir practice and we'll come to church about once a month, something like that, twice a month. Well, it didn't take very long till I realized that was no good at all. If I was going to do anything, I had to be there, not here. Mm-hmm. So it didn't take very long, and it was once a month maybe at home in our church and three Sundays a month there. Well, that also changed that sometimes now we maybe don't get home to our church for 2 or 3 months mm-hmm. in a row, mm-hmm. and which is really immaterial. If we're going to help, you have to be there. Mm-hmm. So we've found it a very good experience. And some people in our church asked me, well, don't you miss the larger fellowship? Well, I said, sure, we miss it in a way, but I mean, you have closer fellowship in a small group than you do in a large group. From that standpoint, it's been very rewarding.
And now, so you're taking helping with the choir, or you're taking care of the choir. Do you have any other involvement in any official way?
Yeah, I felt very uneasy about that at the beginning. They asked me to be on the board.
Oh.
And that was right shortly after we started there. I said, I don't feel that I should be on the board because, you know, not being a member of the church, this could create all kinds of problems for you later on, maybe, too. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they discussed that, I guess, and they said that was all right. They wanted me to serve in that capacity. Well, I said, if you want to, I'll do it. But really, I didn't feel that because I was going to be part of a lot of things which were maybe, well, confidential. You know, that maybe I shouldn't even know, or that I felt uncomfortable with knowing, and. As time grew on, I felt more uncomfortable because sort of being, you know, how should I say, an impartial person. People were talking to me from one side and other people were talking to me from the other side, and I knew things maybe that those people didn't know about each other, which at the beginning I didn't feel comfortable with at all. And I guess I talked to several people. I talked to your dad about it once. Talked to John Friesen about it, and John D. Friesen. Mm-hmm. And they thought I shouldn't feel uncomfortable with that situation. So I guess over time we learned to accept it.
Are you still members at the United Mennonite then?
Yeah.
And you simply attending over here?
Right. Okay.
That's an interesting arrangement. now, you've been involved in other ways as well, I think. I know that you're involved in the OMIAC committee.
Yes, I've been a member of that.
How did that develop, or how did that come to be?
Well, it came to be. That was another thing that, as I look back now, it's kind of a strange thing. There was a gentleman in our church that received a letter from, he was at that time the church council chairman.
It's in the United Mennonite
Church. Yes, he got a letter from who's our friend in Ottawa?
Bill Jansen.
Inviting him to come to this initial organizational meeting. And he felt that he was too busy to, he could see that would lead to another job. You know, he'd be on a committee. And he felt he had too many other things going. He was a member of town council at that, or township council, and he's now the reeve. Mm-hmm. So he asked me, did I want to go to that meeting? Well, I guess I didn't have the foresight that he did, that would lead to a conscription sort of thing. So I went to the meeting, and of course, that meeting, Bill immediately conscripted everybody that was there. They now made up the committee. I guess I could have refused, but I didn't want to. It didn't involve that much, so that's how I happened to get on.
So you've been on it since?
So I've been on it.
When did the committee begin, do you remember?
It must be a little over 2 years now.
Was that when?
I think it was in 77. See, the term, it was initially set up for 18 months, and it's past the 18 months now, like David Friesen's.
Yeah. Did the formation of the committee coincide with the beginning of David Friesen's work?
Yeah.
It's about the same time.
About the same time. Okay. Well, it was set up a little bit sooner, and then as we got into it, then the plans were laid to follow to start working.
Okay. But so that committee really was the advisory committee that helped to get Dave Friesen started.
Right, also the nurses that were involved with it.
Okay. What is your estimation of the work of that committee in terms of what they've done? What do you feel its strengths are? What do you feel some of its weaknesses may be? How do you feel about its operation?
I think that the committee has worked in the capacity of a steering committee to the work that was done. Actually, the committee didn't do all of that much work, with the people.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have that much contact with the people. But the program and the work that was done was sort of steered from there. And I think the Friesen's work and also the work, especially the work that Elder Matthews did, was very significant. Alfreda Driegers here didn't get off the ground. Well, I mean, she was in the program, but hers didn't get off the ground to the extent that the one in Aylmer did,
mm-hmm.
simply because the cooperation from the public health was not the same.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman in Windsor, when we talked to him, he sounded very interested, like I went there with Ray Flagle to make the initial setup.
Mm-hmm.
And he sounded very interested, and we waited and waited, and there was no response. It just, he didn't carry it out. So it was a total different thing. Like over there, they picked that right up, and they just took Eleanor right into their unit,
mm-hmm.
where it didn't happen here. So Alfreda did a lot of, I think, had a lot of frustrations with her work, because she was sort of, I guess all these kind of things, programs are more or less the same. You're sort of on your own. But Eleanor had the added help there of having the health unit take her right in and give her leads, where she didn't, Alfreda didn't have that here.
Mm-hmm. Regarding the health work, and that's closed down now, isn't it? Like Matthews is no longer here.
Well, no, it's not really closed down, but see, the Aylmer unit, they have hired a German-speaking girl onto their unit.
Oh yeah, right.
So that is no longer being funded out of MCC. There's no voluntary worker there because she is on staff. They wanted to hire Eleanor in the worst way. Well, Eleanor, of course, was only for a certain length.
Yeah.
So over here, Friedrich was also terminated after, I forget exactly how long she was in.
About a year and a half, probably.
Not quite as long. She started later than Eleanor.
Yeah.
And she went a little bit longer, so maybe they ran about the same time.
And nothing has developed since over here. They haven't hired anybody especially with skills in German or something.
But you see, through that, I guess, Essex County Community Council here, where David Friesen is right now, they really were open to this whole thing. And through the beginning of this, a lot of programs have started, which probably wouldn't have got started if this OMIAC committee had not started and talked to different people.
Like what kinds of things?
Well, the evening schools, for instance, like the language schools.
Mm-hmm.
The South Essex Community Council got involved in that,
mm-hmm.
so they set it up in the various public schools. The last winter, I guess, had Mr. Peter Dick from the Old Colony Church. He was teaching the driver's handbook.
He's the push there.
Yeah. And these things sort of got started out of that.
I see.
Elsa Koop got involved in this also after this.
She set up a number of programs.
Yeah, she had, well, she'll be telling you about that. She was working for Sinclair College before and still is tied in with that. Mm-hmm. But then she got involved with the South Essex Community Council and is working with the Mexican MIP.
Is there a separate committee here outside of OMIAC that has been established as well to work with Mexican MIP in some way?
No, only what is happening through the South Essex Community Council.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering if there's some kind of an ad hoc committee,
no,
which also was a part of the...
No.
That was going, okay.